Will you join me in the prayer for illumination? On this Christmas day, as we read the Word of God, may we feel the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ, who came to show us the way. Amen. Our second reading today is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlivens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will, or of the will, or of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Word became flesh and lived among us. This is the scripture lesson that we ended with last night at the Christmas Eve service, and it is our main passage for today. Last night we celebrated the birth of the Christ child, the baby Jesus, ending with the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Thinking about this passage for this morning, and indeed the whole story that we made our way through last night, made me imagine what came next. Of course, we know that in Matthew, the young father, Joseph, almost releases Mary until the angel came, and then he realized he would marry her and they would have a special baby. How can this be? In Luke, the young couple goes to Bethlehem, where Mary gives birth in the night with animals all around and shepherds coming and going, and she pondered all of these things in her heart. But what happens the next morning? After the stress of traveling, the pain and excitement of giving birth, the bright light of day dawns, and the reality of the situation sinks in. These two young people are parents. All of their dreams and visitations are for real. They are parents of a special baby. Only in the light of day, there are nappies to change, feeding to attend to. The news would have spread to the neighborhood, and so there would be people popping in and out all day long. Not quite a circus, but an exciting event, keeping things stirred up all day. I remember when our son Nick was born. He was born early on a Sunday morning, and Jeff called our families, who lived a couple of hours away, to tell them the news. Pretty soon, his mom and dad showed up, and in a little while, my mom and my youngest sister came too. The only reason my dad didn't come was because he was deacon of the week at church, which means he was the deacon on duty. That was his term for it. And even though I was tired, adrenaline is a wonderful thing, and I enjoyed having the visitors and showing off the baby. And then everyone went home, including us and Nick, and suddenly reality hit. We were parents. Oh my gosh. We had this baby to take care of and had no idea really what we were getting ourselves into. I'm sure that some of you have been there. So I imagine that for Mary and Joseph, pretty soon the excitement would die down in the neighborhood where Mary and Joseph were staying, and pretty soon they would realize as well that they were parents. Much like parents down through the ages are hit with the idea that this little being belongs to us. We don't know what we're doing. Even though Jesus is a special baby, he's still a baby. Mary and Joseph were still new parents who were overwhelmed and exhausted, but elated. Now, we don't know much about Jesus' childhood either. We know that Joseph was told in a dream to flee to Egypt and then to return. We know that when he was 12, Jesus taught in the temple. He seems to have learned the trade of his father, which was carpentry. But that's about it, really. But even if we're curious, even if we want to know, what we can glean perhaps from this lack of information is that this part of Jesus' life isn't really important to our understanding of who he was. What is important is that he was the light of the world. He was the Word of God come to life to enlighten everyone. Think about that. He came to enlighten everyone. He gave everyone who would listen and will listen the power to become children of God. Not in the conventional sense, but in the sense of being adopted, of being grafted into a family by choice, by preference. Before Jesus came, the people of God were the Israelites. Now everyone was open to this possibility. A few years ago, I was reading this passage, and I was struck by a verse that we didn't read today, but that is just a couple of verses down. From his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Hard to grasp the idea that from a baby born in a manger comes this wonderful gift of grace upon grace. But his is the fullness, the completeness, and the wholeness that opens the door to grace for us. From the love that God has for us comes the grace through the person of Jesus Christ. And through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we are able, we are compelled to love God and love one another. We are able and compelled to love our neighbors as ourselves. In the same way that we love ourselves. Anyway, as Father Richard Rohr says, when we accept the unconditional love and undeserved mercy that God offers us, knowing that we are not worthy of it, then we can allow God to love others through us in the same way. It's God in you loving you, warts and all, and God in you loving others as they are. This is why the love you have available to give away is limitless. This is why we call Jesus love. We've come to the end of Advent now. The baby is here. We know that what we're waiting for isn't just a baby, but grace upon grace. Grace and love that is so great, so pure, and so complete that we can do nothing else but share it. Grace for you, for each one of you, no matter what, for no good reason other than love. Merry Christmas to you all, and may the love of God follow you and flow through you in the coming year until it bursts through your walls and into the world. Amen. The next hymn, so let's sing it now. On This Day, Earth Shall Ring, number 46.